I have a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
But I'm battling against people or a world that doesn't want me to be confident. How can you be confident? You're glamorizing obesity.
Wow. Is that what people say?
If you are confident, plus size women, you're glamorizing. I'm just trying to live.
Yeah, that part. Someone can't put makeup again. Someone can't look cute.
Just something normal. Yeah, I'm just trying to, that nice dress. You saw that dress, you thought it was nice, you wanted to wear it. Me too. I see the dress, I think it's nice, I want to wear it. But all of a sudden, my own is glamorizing obesity. I can't lie to you. Kia, it was one of the best times of my life. I'm not even going to lie. I actually enjoyed it. But I was so obsessed with it because I'd been plus size my whole life. I just wanted to feel what it was like to be slimmer for once.
Right.
You know? Right. And my heaviest was 289. Mm-hmm. And I went down to 190 something. I can't remember exactly.
Wow. Hi guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Weight of It podcast. It's me, Runneth Rose, your favorite mental health expert, talking all things fitness, health, and weight. You guys already know I'm gonna say I've got another special guest, and I'm gonna stop apologizing for it because I don't know any other way to introduce people. So I've got another special guest. I have got Miss Evie on a mission. Hey girl.
Hey.
How are you?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm good.
How was your day today?
Wow, going in deep. Jeez, how was my day?
She said I didn't even warm you up.
There was a lot of stuff going on today. But my day was, it was good. It was productive.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was a productive
good
day.
Good. Yeah. So do you want to introduce yourself a little bit? Tell the people who you are and, we can take from there.
Okay, cool. So my name's Evie on a Mission. You may know me as the Keto Bell. That was my previous name. Yeah. I've been on a weight loss journey for my whole life. I don't even know what time to give.
We've all been on a weight loss journey our whole life. I've been in the game for 10 years.
My whole life. So I have, been on a weight loss journey for quite a while. Just on my platform, I like to share a lot of real and raw experiences because being a plus size woman, it's almost like you feel like you're maybe stuck in trying the cycle of trying to lose weight, gain weight, et cetera, et cetera, especially when it's tied into like your emotions as well.
That part.
So I like to bring the reality of, look, this weight loss journey is not going to be clear cut. You're human. Do you know what I mean? You're human. You're going to have emotions. You're going to have feelings. Life is going to happen.
That part.
So I like to bring that real honest. The honest side. Of weight loss as a plus size woman. So not someone who's perhaps been smaller then gained the weight, someone who has been probably plus size the majority of their life,
right,
and navigating through that.
And you know what, I will honestly say you do a really good job of that, because sometimes when I see your reels I'm like, oh, she's reading me. Like, it's so like, it's the stuff that like, oh, I'm not alone.
No, that's
like,
what I'm going for. That's what I'm going for.
Yeah, sometimes I'm like, oh, not too much. Not too much. Like, sorry.
Facts.
Like, and especially because I guess I think there's a beauty in talking about things when you are in real time trying to work on it. Because sometimes it's easier to talk about like, oh yeah, when I was then, this is what I used to do, this is what I, but it's actually like, yeah, you know, I think there was one that was so funny. There was a reel you put and it was like, something about like eating like less calories and wondering like why you're putting on weight, and it was like the calories in question, and it was like pizza, burger.
Haven't
we all been like, I don't know why it's not working.
Yeah, the 1 meal a day. I just eat 1 meal a day. Yeah, show us the 1 meal. Show us the 1 meal you're eating.
Right, and I think sometimes we like that felt so real when I saw that. I said, no, this is too much, because that has been me before. I'll be like, I only ate 1 meal, and everyone says 1 meal. Why am I not losing weight?
Yeah,
like, babe, that 1 meal you had, the calories, the density.
Yep.
So I definitely am a big fan. I'm a big fan of what you put out. And so we'll go into more of that in a little bit.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for coming. I'm looking forward to today's conversation. Oh, actually.
So am I, actually.
So I'm going to start us off with, I want to know, what's the craziest diet you've ever done?
Girl, you're taking me back now. Okay. So the craziest diet that I've done, not to say I did well on it, by the way.
Yeah,
just did it. Had to be, do you remember the Beyonce maple syrup?
Oh my gosh, I remember that.
the maple syrup, what was it, like cayenne pepper
and cinnamon
and something like some concoction
you drink,
and that you drink that.
Oh my god,
that was probably the craziest that I've ever been on. Because what even was that?
What even?
Did Beyonce even tell us that's what she was doing?
Did she even come out and
tell us? Did she even tell us? All of a sudden, we're all doing it because apparently Beyonce did it, but she's never said she has.
Yeah, I remember that. So yeah,
that was probably the craziest one. That was like, you know, Tumblr. Did you ever use Tumblr?
Yeah, I used Tumblr a little bit back then.
Tumblr weight loss days. Yeah, treacherous place.
That is such a throwback. As soon as you said maples, I said, oh, I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, gosh. Wow, you're like me. You've been in the game for a minute, then. Yeah, you
every
that
single diet. Boop, 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 I've seen it. I've tried it, and
mine was the. I think the craziest one I've ever done is the. Is it military
diet with the coffee?
One, and the one and the slice toast. Of ham.
Oh god,
the toast and the one. Guys, you know what? I'm gonna put like a link so you can see what it looked like or a picture. Guys, the what's it called, military diet?
Yeah, military.
The military diet is actually diabolical. It was like you have one slice of toast, black coffee, I think it was like a slice of ham, maybe a handful of spinach. It's not the nutrients were on minus. Like one of my friends did it though, she lost weight though, but she put it on just like within a number of days. Like I don't know I don't believe the people in the military are even doing that.
Also, why are we doing a diet that people in the military are doing?
Exactly,
why? We're not at war. We're at home.
We're at home. It's true.
We're in peace. We're not in the trenches.
Some of us are working from home.
Do you know what I mean? We're chilling. Even back then, it would have been retail. The biggest war is customers. Yeah. That's it. We're not going to war, but we're putting ourselves through these crazy diets because we're trying to run away from our bodies so much. And it's always going to catch up to you because you can never sustain it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I always have this energy of when you're trying to lose weight, hating yourself to lose weight, it's gonna work. But it's also gonna go the complete opposite way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you're gonna hate yourself so much that you want to love yourself.
Yeah.
And that's where the comfort eating comes in.
Yeah.
When you want to give yourself that love, but because you don't have the skills and the tools to do it in a healthy way, you just go back to those unhealthy coping mechanisms like binge eating and eating lots of food.
Yeah.
So it works.
Yeah.
Every diet out there works.
But at what cost?
Exactly.
At what cost?
Exactly.
Wow, that was a bit of a throwback, those two diets. But no, that is true. Like, these diets will work, but at what cost?
Oh my god, that military diet actually took me all the way back. I can't even lie. I remember seeing the little, you know, they had the little pictures with the graphic.
And like you could only get it on like this particular website. And the website, even military itself, it was just like Times New Roman text. Like, it was so serious. It was actually so serious.
Facts.
Oh god. Oh, thank god for the freedom. Cool. So a question that I have for like all my guests that come, because of the title of the podcast, is what weight are you carrying?
The weight of being a bad bitch.
And that's on period.
It is a very heavy weight.
It's a heavy weight, so let's talk about it.
It is. Because I know in myself, I have a lot of confidence.
Yeah.
But I'm battling against people or a world that doesn't want me to be confident. Mm, right. And that has always been like a recurring thing. I've always felt like, I'm like, girl.
Right.
I remember significantly when I was in primary school, I had a lot of friends.
Yeah.
Very popular, all that. It was great. Loved all my people. Shout out to y'all.
Yeah.
When I got to secondary school, that's when I learned I was fat.
Right. Got you.
I didn't know I was fat before then.
That's right.
I didn't even know that was a problem. I was just living my life. Then when I got to secondary school, that's when I realized, oh, being fat is a problem. Right. Okay. Fair enough. Mm-hmm. And so my light was kind of dimmed from there.
By other people.
Exactly. But me, I thought I was Beyonce. I'm no never going to lie to you. I thought I was Beyonce.
Yeah.
I thought I was amazing. I could sing. I could dance. I was bubbly. All these things. I thought I was so great. But it was just because the only thing that was stopping me was like my physical appearance.
Right.
And that was quite a weird thing to conceptualize at such a young age.
Yeah.
So that's why I say I'm bearing the weight of being a bad bitch, because being a plus size bad bitch You're always going to have limitations. You can't be confident as a plus size woman.
Right.
How can you be confident? How can you be confident you're glamorizing obesity?
Wow. Is that what people say?
If you are confident plus size woman, you're glamorizing. I'm just trying to live.
Yeah, that part. Someone can't put makeup again. Someone can't look cute.
Just something normal. Yeah, I'm just trying to, that nice dress. You saw that dress, you thought it was nice, you wanted to wear it. Me too, I see the dress, I think it's nice, I want to wear it. But all of a sudden, my own is glamorizing obesity. I never said it was good to eat your whole, like, body weight in food. Mm-hmm. I never said it was good to not be active.
Yeah.
I never said any of that.
Yeah.
All I did was exist.
Yeah.
That's it. And all of a sudden, it's glamorizing obesity and all of that. So I just want to be confident. I just want to live in my truth. I just want to live shamelessly.
Yeah.
Because I don't feel like you can excel if you're being held back by shame.
Yeah.
So it's trying to navigate in a world where your confidence is seen as something that you don't deserve. Mm. Who told you that?
Older people to assume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If I came up to you and I said your confidence isn't something you deserve.
Yeah.
Excuse me?
Yeah. That's crazy.
That's outrageous.
That's actually crazy.
That's outrageous, but that's how people feel when they see plus size women. They feel like you don't deserve to have the relationship you want, the life you want, the job you want. You don't deserve that because you're fat. Does that make any sense? That's
crazy. Yeah. No, no. And you know what? I think I'm really shocked to hear, like, because the way you've broken it down, it's like, no, that's actually, when you break it down, that's insane that you would try to tell somebody that they cannot be confident. Like, that is actually insane.
Yeah, it's wild. Wow. It's wild. And I think a lot of what I appreciate the most about, like, the current, I guess you could call it, climate and social media, is that you're seeing more and more plus size women. To be honest, it's not even just plus size women. It's different things. Like, maybe if you have, like, certain skin conditions, like acne, or even if you have, like, certain disabilities, you're seeing more people just owning their truth and seeing the value in them just as being themselves.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not based on how skinny they are, how, I don't know, how clear their skin is or whatever. It's just you're here.
Yeah.
You exist.
Yeah.
You deserve to enjoy this life that you're living.
Yeah.
You only get one.
Yeah. Just like, yeah.
You only get one. So you deserve to enjoy it. And I feel like right now with social media, we're seeing more people being like, unapologetically themselves.
Absolutely.
And some people are scared of that. Some people feel like it's too real. Some people are like, oh, you don't deserve that.
Yeah.
But the message isn't for those people.
Yeah.
The message is for the people who feel like their life is stifled because of their physical appearance.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's for them.
It's for them, yeah.
So anyone else who feels like, oh, you're doing too much, that's okay. You do too little. You do too little. That's what it is. Yeah. You do too little.
Yeah. No, and you know what? What do you think about... So obviously, I agree with you. The world is moving into this, be unapologetically yourself. Mm. And I think especially, I personally feel like since TikTok, you know, I think that's when I feel like I saw it more.
100%.
I think before then, in the Instagram world, it was still picture perfect. Whatever size you are, you still got a good, have a good aesthetic. I think TikTok, people are on their bonnets talking and it's just, you know, they're still getting to the bag kind of thing. But I also feel like on the flip side, it's now almost like a tick box for like some companies. You see, like, they're just trying to, like, the diversity doesn't feel authentic from their part. I think for us as consumers, when you're seeing like me speak or someone else speak or you speak, it's like, yeah, this is relatable. But then when you get in front of a brand, it almost feels like they're trying to like look like they are all inclusive. And it's like, ah,
no,
I don't really think, I don't really believe, I don't really believe.
How many demure emails did you get when that phrase came out? How many demure? It's demure, mindful, like,
literally.
It's not genuine.
No,
you saw it pop off on social media and you tried to use it. And
I got too many.
I don't know if I want to go there with a particular brand.
Go there.
Because I might want to work with them one day. I'm not going to lie. But I think the first time I noticed it was with the, like, was it 2020 pandemic, Black Lives Matter, Black Square, all of that stuff.
Yeah.
When brands are basically, like, being forced to be inclusive.
Yeah.
Or forced to talk on political issues. I think that was the first time that I had noticed. Anyway, it might have been other times, but I had noticed
Same.
That they were forced to talk about a political issue.
Yeah.
and it didn't seem genuine because realistically it ain't. These are businesses.
Yeah.
The only genuine thing that a business wants to do is make impact and make money.
Yeah.
Those are the only two things. So if it feels like it's a money grab, it's because it is a money grab.
Yeah.
Right? So I think with brands these days, they are between a rock and a hard place. Mm-hmm. Once upon a time, brands were the ones that set the standards.
Yeah.
They were the ones that set the standards. They were the one that said, we are putting this out. You guys are going to... They were the influencers of their own product. Mm-hmm. Now things have changed where normal people like you and I, we can influence a product.
Yeah.
So that power dynamic has shifted. But because they aren't in control anymore, they have to deal with a wide range of different kinds of people.
Yeah.
You have the, and it's usually,
It's fine.
And it's usually the more marginalized people that are now having the bigger voices.
Yeah.
But there's so many, they're trying to figure out what to do. Yeah. So it's all over the place. So they're going to jump on what's trendy because they can see, oh, a lot of people are interested in this. This is the angle we're going to go in. Plus size clothing in 2000, let me even. When should I go back? Plus size clothing, when I was in sixth form, I was shopping at, what's it called? Bon Marsh?
Okay.
Peacocks?
I remember
Evans?
Bon Marsh. Yeah.
I'm 16.
Yeah.
What am I doing shopping at the same place that my grandma and my mom can shop?
Yeah.
Because the plus sizes they had were marketed more for older women.
Yeah, right.
Now, because of the push on that body positive movement, now you're seeing more brands doing plus size clothes.
Yeah.
That wasn't a thing before.
At all.
If you're a plus size woman, all you had was peplum and floral.
Peplum.
And fruits. Mm. What are you trying to tell me? Why are you putting fruits on clothes? Am I five?
Yeah.
What's going on here?
Yeah.
So brands will kind of just go with whatever is pushed the most because consumers have way more power now than we've had ever because of social media.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing. And sometimes it's like, can I swear on this?
No.
Okay. Well, thanks for letting me know. Sometimes you have to cut through all of the noise.
Yeah.
As a consumer and just boil it down to, at the end of the day, I want to be able to shop. I want to be able to buy. I want to be able to do these things. So if a brand is a little bit with their messaging, a little bit meh, at the end of the day, I want this top. I want to be able to wear nice clothes. So fine. I will somewhat turn a blind eye to certain things.
Yeah.
But of course, if it goes too overboard, like the messaging is completely contradictory. Like you're saying you do plus size clothes, but then all of your representation is slimmer women and you don't show any plus size women at all, then that's a bit of a problem.
Yeah.
So it's, I guess, just play it like how you feel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't think there's really a perfectly right way to go about it. Because I don't know, sometimes I just want to be able to wear clothes.
I was about to say, sometimes you have to, I know, I completely agree. But I definitely think that was such a good point you made. Like, they actually used to be the influencers. Like, if they say that it's only people who look like this can shop from here, you have to just find your tribe somewhere else. But now it's like, because if I now have like 2 million followers and I'm showing the outfits I wear, you're going to want to appeal to me so that I can appeal to the 2 million followers I have. So it is definitely a change in power dynamics. And I don't think that all brands have necessarily mastered it yet either. And I think especially when it comes to being inclusive, whether that, you know, body positivity and plus size models and even like what a plus size model is. Like I've seen when they're showing like the plus size range. And to me, I'm like, I mean, this woman is curvy with a flat stomach. Like, so it doesn't really feel like it's inclusive of the whole plus size community
as
well. It's
the palatable ones.
Right.
It's the ones that look nice because at the end of the day, they still want you to desire the clothes.
Right.
Not just buy them. They want you to desire them. They want you to look at these clothes and be like, oh, I would love to look like this. But like, I've seen these so many memes of like, is the body included with the outfit? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think ASOS has been one of the first brands I've seen that actually will showcase their clothes on different body types. So even if they have a plus size range, they'll show different types of plus size bodies.
Right.
And if I'm being real, that was very interesting for me to see. I'm used to shopping at the PLTs, mm-hmm. Fashion Nova, mm-hmm. you know, the brand that should not be named because they don't have good PR at the moment. Yeah, I'm used to shopping at those kind of places. Yeah. And so they put on the, you know, women that have BBLs, mm-hmm. plus size women that have flat stomachs. Mm-hmm. And so I'm used to shopping in a way where I desire the clothes. Mm. When I saw those ASOS brands with the different body shapes, it was a bit of a shock.
Yeah.
Because it was almost, you know how you were saying, like, with my platform, it's a bit too real.
Yeah.
Seeing the clothes, it was a bit too real. Yeah. I don't want to see my, like, you know, the curves in the back fat areas. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see that when I'm buying clothes. Mm. So to see it up front, it was a bit of a shock.
That's interesting.
I would prefer to see clothes where their bodies look close to perfect. For some reason, it's just something that my mind is just conditioned to, I guess.
Okay, yeah, I'd like to say something. Yeah,
yeah, it's like, just something that my mind is conditioned to. I'm not used to seeing clothes that don't maybe look flattering mm-hmm. on the mannequin. Mm-hmm. I'm used to seeing it in my mirror.
Right.
So it was a very interesting experience, but I appreciate them for doing that. But I think until other brands catch up with that kind of thing, it's still going to be very, a bit of a shock to people.
That's really interesting because I'm kind of a bit of the opposite.
Mm.
I've seen brands where I'm seeing a girl who might be my frame, but she doesn't have like massive hips or like maybe she's got some back fat or whatever. And I kind of see like, because I want to know how the dress is going to hang on me. So for me, it's like, it just gives me insight into like, because I'm not washboard skinny. So it's like, I'm there's no point in looking at this girl because I'm not going to look like that.
Yeah.
I like seeing someone who's got a bit of meat, who's got some cellulite, maybe got some fat on their arms or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, but I think it probably comes down to, like you said, conditioning and where you're at with like seeing something.
Yeah.
That like, you know, like I said, if you're real, it's like, oh, not too much now. Like, I'm not ready to take this in yet. But on this topic, obviously, thank you for answering that question.
Yeah,
we went off on a bit of a tangent, guys. Sorry about that. This happened to bring two yappers together. Obviously, I knew you from your first ever page. Yeah. That's when I first came across you. So it was the Keto Bell.
Yeah.
And I remember you talk a lot about keto. I think if I'm completely honest, I think you might be one of the first people that I saw talk about keto.
In the UK.
Yeah, I think so. I think one of the, pioneer over here, guys, sitting with one of the OGs. So obviously I knew about keto, but I think like actually watching somebody live that way.
Yeah.
And obviously now you're even on a mission. So I guess I kind of wanted to go through that journey.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess we start with Keto Bell. So how was that being with Keto Bell and being
I can't lie, a lot of people that go on keto, they will like come off it and then completely doubt, like they'll dog it out. I can't lie to you, keto was one of the best times of my life. Really? I'm not even gonna lie, I actually enjoyed it. It was the first diet, some people call it a lifestyle. Listen, that's a diet. Okay, it's not, no eating style should ever be a lifestyle. That's obsessive eating. Mm-hmm. That's obsessing about what you're eating. Mm-hmm. Right. So that was the first diet that I'd been on, that I'd been successful in losing a significant amount of weight on.
Yeah.
That I had actually found a huge community in.
Right. Of course.
Yeah. I was in various Facebook groups and everything, and there was just like this huge, huge community. And also the food slapped.
Right.
The food was good.
So it was easier to continue.
Yeah, it was exciting, right. Basically.
Yeah.
So when I first started keto, it was actually because I had come across, what's his name? Lean in 15. Have you ever heard of that?
I've heard.
Joe?
Oh, he was doing the stuff in the pandemic.
The body coach guy. Yeah. So I had bought his cookbook because I'd seen it in Sainsbury's. And I tried some of the meals. I'm not gonna lie, it was bland. So I thought, let me spice it up a little bit. Yeah. And then I started to look into the research of his actual book, because I've always had this thing of like, you can market to me, you have one time to market to me before I try and find out myself what you're really selling.
Right.
I'm not gonna be one of those people that buy everything you put out. I need to find out the science behind what you're selling.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not gonna just buy everything because you've said it. Mm-hmm. There has to be something that you've got this from.
Yeah.
So I looked into why it worked. And then I found out about keto because he had a lot of high fat, low carb meals in there.
Okay.
So that's when I started doing research on keto. And then I started eating in the keto way. Mm-hmm. And I was actually dropping weight. Love the weight that was coming off.
Wow.
Bap, 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 every week, £10 in the first week and then £3. You know that £3 a week that they say is the recommendation? I was actually hitting that. Wow. Because before, that £3 a week was giving like £3 a month. It was not happening for me. So I started to see a lot of results. This was back when I was in uni. So it's like 2016. Earlier than that. I was 2014.
Sorry to interrupt you. Were you doing the keto alongside gym?
Yeah.
Okay, got you.
I was going gym heavy. So I started my gym journey before I started my keto journey.
Okay, got you.
So with the gym, I think that's the first time that I probably popped off on social media for my fitness. So that was because I used to have absolutely no bum at all.
Okay. Like,
I was plus size with no bottom. Nobody. Yeah, nothing there. Mm-hmm. So I went, started going to the gym, started lifting heavy, and then gained a nice size booty. And then I started doing keto after that.
Got you.
So yeah, it was always like keto and gym side by side. But I was going crazy. I was going to the gym twice a day. I used to live, so I went to uni in Manchester. So my student accommodation / student house was about an hour and 15 minute walk to my uni. I would walk there and back every day.
Okay.
I was going ham.
You were getting those steps in.
Yeah.
Right.
For real. So I was doing a lot of cardio, obviously doing keto, which is very restrictive, like virtually no carbs is the way I was doing it, and hitting the gym twice a day. Now, as a 30-year-old woman, I'm never doing that again.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's just too much effort. But anyway, going back to the keto bell. So I was doing a lot of exercise, doing keto, really enjoyed it. And then I started posting my progress online. And I started getting a lot of attention from the weight loss. Weight loss is one of those things that when you post it, people will always praise it before they criticize it.
Absolutely.
So even if you're doing it healthily or unhealthily,
yeah, they're gonna be there warning you in the comments. Yep. It happens.
Yep. Yeah, they'll praise you first, but then they'll be holding a second.
I don't think this is, you should be doing that. I think that's a bit unhealthy. Then they got the gym police saying you're not squatting properly.
Exactly. All of that. Yeah. So it's just, so people were praising me because of the way that I was taking my pictures. I never put a date on how long it was in the beginning. I would take pictures in a way where the before picture, obviously I'm miserable, I'm sad because, oh my God, I hate my weight, woe is me. And then in the after picture, I'm smiling, I'm giving you angles, I'm tilting to the side and everything. So just when people see that, they think it's a positive progression. They don't know that I've been basically dedicating my whole life at that point to losing weight. That was the most important thing to me at that time. More important than anything. At one point, it was more important to me than uni. And then I had to like scale it back because it's like, girl, weight loss, uni, like, come on now. But I was so obsessed with it because I've been plus size my whole life. I just wanted to feel what it was like to be slimmer for once.
Right.
You know? Right. So for a whole year, I was doing keto. I dropped a crazy amount of weight. And then that's when I think this, okay, now we're coming on to 2016. I finally started to feel confident taking pictures and just being that girl.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, the baddie that I was talking about was trapped, that was locked in.
Yeah.
She was finally coming out.
Okay.
And I was taking more pictures. I was wearing the clothes I wanted to wear from the brands I wanted to shop at.
Yeah.
I was the size I wanted to be. Like, I've never got to a place where I was really skinny.
Yeah.
But at least I was at a point where most brands stop at size 14.
Yeah.
I could get into the 14 finally.
Okay.
I was actually at that place.
Right.
So yeah, that was pretty much my keto experience.
And how long was this period of you being like dedicated to being keto, like
all the time? I'd say it started maybe like 2015. Mm-hmm. And then it continued up until, I want to say, 2019.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's so a long time.
But I would take breaks.
Okay.
So I would take breaks, come off it, binge.
Okay.
Then go back on it.
Right.
And that cycle.
Okay.
And then when it got to 2019, I went from working retail to working my first office job. And it just went.
Okay.
Everything from there. that sedentary life. Bear in mind, I'm used to working out 2 times a day.
Yeah.
Walking 3 hours.
Yeah.
Minimum. To sitting down and for 8 hours.
Biscuits and...
Yo, and Tesco was right down there. Tesco, yeah. And that's when Tesco Milder was still £3. So it was cheap. So going to Tesco, buying a whole bunch of snacks because I'm a very, like... You can see I talk with my hands a lot. I'm a very, like... I like to walk around. I don't like to be still for too long. Mm-hmm. So being in a job where I'm forced to be at my desk, as in if I move around, I'm going to get penalised for it.
Yeah, that part.
It was...
Can't just be getting up and going anymore.
Yeah, man. It was just like, you know what? I might as well just sit here then.
Yeah.
Sit here and I'm eating because I'm bored at my desk because I can't move around or anything. And that's when the weight started to kind of, like, you know, creep up.
And so when you said that... You were essentially doing keto for around 4 years,
yeah,
on and off. And when you were in your off keto season, you would binge. So I want to know, even when you were keto, was it you were just following the diet as opposed to learning, like how your relationship with food? Because obviously, if you're binging, it's sounding like you're going from like eating really in a restrictive way to now eating like, I guess, everything. Would that what binging would look like for you? So do you feel like keto, although you got the results, best you've looked like and all that stuff, it didn't equip you necessarily with, what's the word I'm looking for? I want to say
the psychological meal prep tools.
Yeah, like, you know, balance your meals. Do you feel like it gave you that skill, or was the emotional eating, so I don't want to speak for you, but or was the binging just completely unrelated to that?
So I'm only one person, so it's always going to be related somewhere. I might just not be able to put the pieces together. But I have thought about this in quite a bit of detail. So when it comes to the binging, there are a few sides of it. So currently with weight loss, people think that weight loss is about willpower. I say I have like about a 2 minute willpower. You know, you got 30 minutes. I have like a 2 minute willpower window. If I have to use willpower past that window, it's pain and torment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
So
when it comes to weight loss, people just think you have to just keep on, you know, trying, keep on. No, the majority of people that can sustain weight loss, it's because the food noise that they have decreases. If you are constantly thinking about food all the time, and the only thing you have to stop you from thinking about food is willpower, you will fail. You will fail. So I had learnt how to do the meal prepping. I know how to meal prep. I know how to balance my meals. I know how to do all of that.
Yeah.
The struggle was I can go a whole day and I'm just hearing rice, bread.
That'd be like that.
Food all day.
Yeah.
And then that paired with you scroll on your social media and you're seeing...
a meal.
Food. You're seeing all the ads. Then you're seeing people eating. You see food everywhere.
Your colleague offering you...
Exactly.
Biscuits.
There's food everywhere you look.
Yeah.
So when I don't have that food noise, seeing all that food, it doesn't really mean anything to me. I can just go on with my life. But with keto, because you are restricting... There will be a point where your brain is like, give me those carbs. Because your body needs them at the end of the day.
Yes, of course, you've cut out carbs.
Yeah, so I've cut out carbs. So my body's going to be like, give it to me.
Yeah.
And I always say, your body will overpower your mind. Think about the last thing that you craved. Everything in your body was making you crave that thing.
Yeah.
Everything from your mouth, your eyes, your ears, everything was making you crave it. So I think we underestimate the power of cravings. We think that willpower is enough to just get rid of it.
Yeah.
No. Your body will overpower that willpower.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah.
So going back to your question, I did learn all of these things. I learned how to have a better relationship with food.
Yeah.
I say that in quotations because why should we have a relationship with food?
That's an interesting
It's
take.
Just food.
Right.
It's not about your relationship with food in the conscious sense.
Mm-hmm.
It's about how your body reacts to food and not having food.
Okay.
It's about your body's reaction. It's not your thinking. It's not about your conscious thinking.
Yeah.
It's about, there's hormones up in here.
Yeah, there is.
Do you know what I mean? There's hormones. And like, you know, as women, our hormones really take control of us on a regular basis.
Yeah.
They from, you know, menstrual cycle to moods, emotions, everything.
Absolutely. Yeah, heavy on the menstrual cycle.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm dealing with hormones here that are telling my brain, it's time to eat. That's not about my conscious relationship. That's about what's going on in my physiology.
Okay.
That's something that I can only control so much.
Yeah.
Which is why I'm never against any type of surgical intervention, especially for people who have been overweight their whole life. Mm-hmm. Because it could be a hormonal thing.
Right.
And you can eat food to help it,
yeah.
But it's a band-aid.
Right.
At the end of the day, if your brain is constantly telling you there's not enough food, there's not enough food, there's not enough food, you can eat all the healthy food that you want to. It's going to keep on doing that. It's going to keep on pushing that.
Okay,
so to summarize, I learned all of that.
Yeah.
But I've realized because I've been overweight my whole life, this is not just a willpower issue. This is not just a relationship with food issue. Mm-hmm. This is actually a genetic thing.
Got you.
And some people see that as an excuse. Mm-hmm. Me and you eat the same way for 6 months. Let's see who's going to gain more weight. And then you'll tell me that it's an excuse.
Yeah.
Like, do you get what I mean?
And especially, like you said, that was an interesting point about the relationship with food, because I'm personally a big believer of relationships with food. But I guess one thing I haven't considered, and two just said, is actually, regardless of your relationship with food, your body will still send signals. Like, your body is not going to think, oh yeah, but you and food are locked in. Like, your body doesn't know that. Like, your body is still going to send the signals to you to tell you that you're craving and tell you that you're hungry and tell you that you need to have this or you need to have that. And sometimes it's in ways that might not always seem like what we'd expect it to seem. So for example, there've been a few times where I've woken up with a massive headache and I can feel my body tell me, you need to eat something. Mm-hmm, you haven't ate. Mm-hmm. But like, it's a headache. I wouldn't necessarily relate it to food.
But how do you know your body's telling you?
Because then I feel hungry.
So you feel your body's telling you to do something, but it's not saying in your head, hey, go and eat some food.
No.
Everything in you is just pointing to that thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's not like
I agree with that.
It's so complex and weird.
I'm heavy on the complex and weird, because only as you're saying, I'm just thinking, how did I know? And then I'd eat and I'm fine.
Yeah.
The headache would go. But it's like, how did I know that? But it is just that everything is just...
It's literally just point, like, pointing, there's an arrow just pointing to that.
It's not one like direction. Go and get paracetamol. It's not go lie down. Like, there are times when you know it's that, and then there's times when it's like, no, I need to eat something.
And the only reason your body knows that is because at some point, this has happened before. This is not the first time you've had this headache.
Yeah.
You ate, it remembered, this is what fixes it. Right? It's our brains are really, really, we're really intelligent.
Yeah.
So you take in paracetamol, how many times in your life? But for some reason, there was no kind of like signpost to taking paracetamol.
Yeah.
That's because it didn't really resolve the issue of the headache. It just kind of, it dampened it. It didn't really resolve that issue. Mm. Especially when you're saying your body's pointing you to certain directions. Do you know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah, we're not talking like, okay, not to be nerdy. I studied pharmaceutical chemistry, so I'm a bit of a nerdy.
Oh, did you? So you've been knowing your stuff.
Yeah, I'm a little bit nerdy. But this isn't like like an immune response, you know, like when you're sick, your nose starts to get all fluffy, stuffy and stuff like that. But even still, even with that, when your body knows exactly what it needs, because when you're ill, it will start doing things. Your nose will start getting stuffy to stop more pathogens coming into your nose. You'll have a cough to try and expel whatever it is that's causing the, do you know what I mean? Your body is so intelligent. And that's what I stand for as well, also being connected to what your body is telling you. So when I find myself like eating a lot or being signposted to food a lot mentally, it's usually because I'm eating lots of sugar. When I eat a lot of sugar, I start to signpost towards food more, because I also have diagnosed ADHD as well. So my relationship, call it, with sweet things is very different. Sweet things makes my brain go ping, 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 ping. Like, it's literally like excitement going on. So when I find myself eating more, I'm not actually hungry.
Yeah,
I'm just eating loads and I'm going specifically to sugary foods. It's usually because there's something with my ADHD that's firing off.
Yeah,
it's not actually hunger. But it takes, I didn't know this when I was on keto, by the way.
Yeah, okay.
I was just
like the on, then off. Yeah, just going
Everything would be super extreme.
And I think like you said when you first spoke about keto, because that's the nature of diets.
Yes.
Like, because they're not to be sustained, like, for a long period of time, they you are naturally going to have an on and an off period. And I don't know if I asked, how much did you end up losing in your keto phase?
So that four-year span, my heaviest was 289, and I went down to 190-something. I can't remember exactly.
Wow.
190-something. Yeah, I have to check on my Instagram.
That's a big loss.
Yeah,
and then fast forward now, it's 2019. You've started working, and then I guess a year later we're in the pandemic. And I, like I said, I've seen a lot of your content. You know, guys, I said the content be reading me sometimes, so you should definitely see it. And you were talking about like the impact of the pandemic.
Yeah,
and I think that's something it has come up quite a few times in some of my episodes. For on both sides, some people that's when they started their weight loss journey, some people that's when they put on. And I think it's not necessarily like people lost weight because they were just feeling like their best selves. Some people, it was actually to escape
stress.
The pandemic, everyone just went about it different ways. Like, I'll be so honest, I did my brand kind of picked up in the pandemic, and I was running the most in the pandemic, but I didn't know what to do. I was bored. It was like my escapism. It was like, I want to do something to feed me, to feel feel me. So I think I have friends who put on during the pandemic. So it's so interesting to see people's weight literally went either way during the pandemic.
Yeah,
and I know from what I've seen on TikTok, it was like that's when you put the weight back on.
It was a gradual process, but in the pandemic, I actually probably was even lighter in the pandemic than I am now, to be honest. Because I was still trying to hold on to, know what I mean? But definitely from 2016, 2019, that pandemic, it went up significantly.
Yeah.
So the pandemic, I truly feel like we downplay how crazy of a time that was.
Can we actually talk about it?
That was a crazy, what do you mean we're fighting for toilet roll? What do you mean we're fighting for toilet roll?
Insane. Like, we were doing like the baking Olympics. Like, we were I was eating cake like every day. It was not normal.
Yeah, it was, but and it then, isn't.
Did you do, I don't know if you did like the Chloe Ting challenge.
So like, I did that for like 2 days. I said, no, Chloe, I ain't with it.
I just think that like that pandemic was such a, like you said, we underestimate. I think also, I don't think a lot of us have processed it yet because we've had to keep going. Yeah. So I don't think like we've got to have a moment where the world can just stop again and be like, hey guys.
We all need a kumbaya moment.
We all
need a moment where we can just say, this thing really messed a lot of us up.
Yeah.
And because of social media again, you had the people that really, really, really excelled during the pandemic. Like I always said, if I just took my two legs and started dancing, I swear that I'd be on like a million followers on TikTok by now if I was just dancing with the rest of the world. But it had such a huge impact because it was the first time that you were forced to not even just be still, you were forced to be afraid constantly. It's not normal to turn on the TV and see graphs of people, sadness. Yeah,
people die. It's true.
It's not the normal. The
death toll. Like, that was insane. A death toll.
Excuse me, what?
We've actually seen that every day, yeah.
It wasn't normal. Yeah. And so, for me, I was, like, trying to navigate that. And also, I'm a very social person. Like, I like to be outside of my house. I don't know what's happened since the pandemic. Now, I just love being inside. But I was forced to stay in my house. And if you left the house, it was, you're afraid of something you can't even see. Oh, that was it was too much. So being at home, going from this really active lifestyle to sedentary and then completely sedentary.
Yeah.
Completely. Shut down. Yeah. And the only way that I can exercise is by walking. That's not fun to me. I love being in the gym. I love being in the gym. I don't know what it is about that place. I think it's probably because I'm actually touching things. I'm touching dumbbells. Do you know what I mean? For me, it's more of a sensory experience. So walking, it can only go so far, to be honest.
Yeah.
And with the pandemic, it was a lot of trying to figure out how I'm going to get through this. I still want to lose weight, but my bread and butter of going to the gym is now out the window.
Yeah.
On top of that, to get eggs is now a problem. To get meat is now a problem. All the things that I would have needed to be healthy, now going to the shop is a burden. But you know what isn't a burden? Deliveroo, baby.
McDonald's.
Deliveroo, Uber Eats, that is not a problem.
Right.
That is not a problem at all. And so that's where the habit started for me of ordering fast food.
Okay.
Because I'm afraid to leave my house. Mm-hmm. It's also a hassle to leave my house. Mm-hmm. I can only pick up two items of each thing. And Deliveroo is doing discounts left, right, and center. And you're having variety. Your house is the same, but when you open that Deliveroo app, you will see a different restaurant every single week. So it was the only kind of excitement, that and watching TV was the only excitement I could have during the pandemic. So eating and watching TV is all that I was doing.
Right, got you.
And I would try and do keto at that time. But another thing with keto is that it requires a lot of cooking.
Yeah.
And I was just over it. I have this weird thing where I can't eat food that's been in the fridge for too long. So I would have to cook every single day. But I can't leave the house like that. So I'm just in the house cooking. I just felt like a house girl.
Yeah.
I just wanted to relax. Like, I'm just cooking all day and cleaning and working, and that's it. So for me, the pandemic was completely out of my comfort zone. I didn't like it. It's not how I like to interact with the world.
Yeah.
I like to be outside. I like to do things. And trying to lose weight in that time, it just didn't seem realistic because there were too many barriers that I had to overcome.
Yeah.
So I just went to my comfort zone, which is just eating and watching TV.
Yeah.
And the weight just completely packed on from there. But I was still trying.
Right.
But that nasty habit of ordering fast food,
it just becomes only second nature.
2024.
Oh, that you stopped that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I haven't ordered fast food in, I think I need to check my phone, I think it's been like 50 days.
Okay.
Yeah, like 50 days.
So that took some, that's taken some time then to stop that habit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because it needs to not be in, the pros need to, sorry, the cons need to outweigh the pros. The only pro of ordering fast food for me for a long time was spending hella money on fast food. But that's okay. I just don't have to buy some clothes for a couple months, you know. I just replace it with something else. But not having to stand and wait to make food. The food is there instantly. Whilst I'm waiting for the food to come, I'm doing something else. That was something that I picked up in the pandemic. And it, because I'd gained so much weight, the fear of being big was gone.
I've been there.
So that wasn't enough.
Like comfortable. Yeah. It's like, it is what it is.
Exactly. And I wear stretchy clothes. So listen, it will take a long time for the clothes not to fit. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So obviously we've gone through when you were the keto bell pandemic and like where you are now. And obviously I keep saying, I absolutely love what you're doing with Evie on a Mission. Just, I think it's, you know, I know you say you're like, it's for the plus size guys, but I mean, I'd be there really like,
I
love it here because it's still relatable. I think it's relatable for anyone who's been on a journey, of some, you know, some sort. And I guess I wanted to know, like, what advice do you have for people who have gone through a journey like yours? Because I think what you said is unique about yours, and I think you might be the only person that's come and said this. It's not that somebody who has been slim and then put on the weight and then you, if like this has been you for all this time, and kind of like navigating that and the different diets and people telling you can't be confident and all that stuff. Like, what advice do you have for those women?
I got a lot of advice. I'm not gonna lie. I think the main thing is, if you try and run away from yourself, you will always catch up to yourself. You can never, ever run away from yourself.
That's a good one.
So it's so much better, healthier, and comforting for you to address what you're afraid of head on. It's just you and you. No one else is here. It's just you and you. You know what I mean? The only person who could judge you is you. So stop judging yourself. That's the main thing. Don't try and run away from who you are, because why would you do that to yourself? give yourself a hug. You know what I mean? Why would you do that to yourself, man? Be kind to yourself.
Yeah,
that's the one piece of advice. Be kind, be compassionate to yourself, and stop running away from yourself.
No, I love that. That is a very good piece of advice. It's true. Because every time you try to run away, you're going to find yourself.
How are you running from you? Yeah,
you're going to find yourself somewhere, somehow. And yeah, so I think obviously it's nice to see that, like, although from, I guess, from when you started your fitness journey to where you are, it just sounds like you're in a space of acceptance.
Yeah, but still,
building, like, the two don't always have to be opposing. Like, you can be accepting, like, okay, this is how I look today, and I'm still a bad bee.
Yeah.
I'm still gonna wear what I want to wear. I'm still gonna dress how I want to dress, but I'm still working on myself.
Yeah,
I'm
exactly.
still prioritizing fitness and health. And mm-hmm. I think that's what I like a lot about your platform. You know, you're showing the rule, but also still like, yeah, I'm in the gym.
Yeah,
but I might leave after 5 minutes because I can't be bothered. Like, kind of thing.
Exactly, because I'm at a point now where I'm not gonna lie to you, I might want to lose weight because I want to shop at Soda. Or because I want to shop at a certain place, I might just want to do it for that.
Right.
It's not attached to my identity and self-worth anymore.
Love that.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But because with being a plus-size woman, and especially some aspects of the body positive movement, it's almost like if you want to lose weight for any reason, you don't love yourself. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting here, I want to lose weight, and I love myself. So what's going on? Clearly, I'm not being represented for... right now. And that's what my whole brand is about. Like, people who just want to be able to make changes to their body, but not
feel like everything is waiting on that change. Like, you know, some people are like, oh, I'll start dating once I've lost the weight. You can start doing that thing now whilst working on losing weight.
Don't wait till you lose weight to date. Mm-hmm. Don't do it. Mm-hmm. You'll always be insecure.
Yeah.
I'd rather meet someone at the size I am now who accepts me as I am and also accepts the fact that I will fluctuate than wait till I get slim and every day of my relationship I'm questioning. Oh no, if I see him like someone's picture who's slimmer than me, all of a sudden I need to be even.
Don't do that, girls.
No.
Don't do it.
No.
Don't do
just,
it yourself.
Just be yourself. Just date as you are.
Yeah.
Just date as you are. This whole, the pool of men, when you're, please get off the internet.
Touch grass.
Lie on the grass. Place your head to the grass. It's not that deep.
No. I think this is why you need to keep pushing your platform, sis. I can't even lie. You need to keep pushing because I think a lot of people see it as two separate things. You're plus size, but you're still trying to strive for, like, you know, the worldly standards of beauty. And it's just, I think... we need more people like pushing this. And it's like, no, I don't even seem like make it sound like a movement because it's just real life. Like just showing, this is me. This is me. Like,
I'm just a girl.
Yeah. But no, this has been a great conversation. I always feel like my conversations are so quick, man.
No, this was really good. I really appreciate it.
How do you find? You know, by the way, this is her first podcast. This is Evie's first podcast.
Yeah.
I think you did well.
Thank you.
I think you should come back. Yeah.
You invite me back? Okay.
I mean, you guys let me know. Do we want to... I still got more questions to ask. And I just think I'm very curious about what you're doing as like with your community, especially like the girls
doing stuff.
We didn't get to go into that today, but I really just love the whole community aspect for the women. So maybe we'll do in part two. Make a little comment, guys, if you want to see Evie again.
Yeah.
Where can people find you?
So I'm on... which camera am I looking at, by the way? Cool. Okay. So I'm on Instagram. So my Instagram and TikTok is Evie on a Mission. But then I also have my all women sport community for any women that want to get into sports. We didn't really get a chance to get into it.
Yeah.
But basically, I have an all women's community for any woman that wants to get into sports and feel like they never could. Like me, I felt like I could never play sports because I was a plus size girl. I made the arena for me to play the sports in.
That's
girls doing stuff. We're on Instagram and TikTok as well. Yeah,
I love that. You see, this is what I'm saying. Create, like, don't be asking for a seat on the table, guys. Build your own table.
Yep.
Build your own table. I love it. So yes, please do follow Evie on all socials. Obviously, her stuff will be linked in the description box. Follow me, Ronnie Froze. You know, I've got more people coming, more episodes, more conversations. I just feel like the conversations have been a bit like different. Like, I'm having different conversations, which I love, all unique, and I'm genuinely learning different things. Different people, so thanks for coming, Evie.
Thank you for having me today. Thanks.
Yeah,
it's been great.
I'll be back for another episode soon, guys. Thanks so much for watching. Bye.